The Chris Burns Show, powered by Dynamic Money. Creating personal financial plans built for life.
Well, hello and welcome to the Chris Burns Show. So excited to have you join us today for our first show at 2 p.m. If you want to join in all the excitement, it's 404-872-0750. We have so much to cover today, but let me just give you an overview. If you've never heard my show before, the next hour is about you. It's not primarily just about the headlines. It's not primarily about just what's going on in the world. It's how does that filter down and actually impact your specific situation, the dreams that you have for the future, because so many of us are entering this year right now, and we've all made New Year's resolutions, and we all know that science research says like the middle of this month, about half of us drop those resolutions. And by the time we get to February, it's like two-thirds of us drop the resolutions. And so if you're a person that ended last year and said, I just never made that progress, I never felt like I took an actual step towards change, that's what this show is all about. So we're going to talk about the newest numbers on the economy and what it means for you. We're going to have an amazing guest in a moment. Eric Erickson is going to jump on to talk about how the 2020 election could impact you personally. But all of that is geared around you making specific and tangible progress towards your dreams. So if you have financial questions or anything pops up as you're looking and listening to the show today, again, you can call in. It's 404-872-0750. You can always all go on dynamicmoney.com and always ask questions there as well. And that's where we end up getting all the questions for our lightning round, which is at the end of the show. So again, we'd love to join with you. But jumping on the phone lines to start out, we have Eric Erickson is going to be joining us. Eric is obviously someone you've heard often. He has a show Monday through Friday on WSB from 4 to 6, as well as his show from 9 to noon across the rest of Georgia. Eric, thank you so much for coming on the inaugural show here.
Happy to be here, and congrats.
How's the day going so far, sir?
Yeah, running around trying to feed the kids. Typical Sunday in our house. Power
okay,
was off till like, what, 2 o'clock in the morning, thanks to the storm?
Oh, man. Yeah, the power went at least twice, but I feel like I've cheated on you, sir. I did go, I saw 1917.
I knew you were going to do it without me.
I saw it without you, and it was insane.
Yeah, I got to go see it still. Yeah. I rewatched Dunkirk yesterday. I got to go see 1917 now.
I feel ashamed of this. I never watched Dunkirk.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Well, I at some point, we're going to have to do that. But seriously, I knew you were going to do that without me. I knew it.
But I've never seen anything like it. So if you are a fan of war films, and especially of just really interesting, creative cinematography, this is an amazing film. You should go see it. So there's my quick pitch. But I didn't bring you on primarily to talk about that. I'd love to dig into something with you. You are a person that has been watching politics for years. Bipartisan effort is incredibly hard to come by these days. But there's been one area that I've seen over the last few years where we've just seen unbelievable consistent agreement, and that's just spending everybody's money, right?
Right.
So last year we saw, I think, a $1.3 trillion spending bill. President Trump at that point said, I'm not going to sign anything like this again, and he didn't. He stayed true to his word. This year he signed a $1.4 trillion spending bill. So we just upped it a little bit. But it's been fascinating to see these bills come through. And when you study them, you go, man, most people that are signing these haven't even had the chance to read through them in any sort of way, let alone actually debate and discuss and have discourse over this. But every person that comes into my office, literally, I can't think of anyone who's come into our office who hasn't sat and asked, is Social Security going to be viable long term? Is Medicare, Medicaid, how is that going to pan out? And so people are thinking about this, but we keep seeing Congress and our government in general pushing it down the road. So I'd love your thoughts. First of all, why do you think there is such a hesitancy on the part of Congress to actually delve into issues like entitlement programs?
Largely because it's one thing to say, let's reform entitlements, but the reality is you've got constituent interest there. You've got a lot of senior citizens who are dependent on Medicare and are dependent on Social Security. If you start changing it, then suddenly you really are impacting your grandmother in some way. That's why Republicans, Paul Ryan in particular, when he wanted to change Medicare and Social Security, and George W. Bush, they wanted to really start with people who were in their 30s and 40s and leave everyone else alone. But the fear tactics from the left, even scuttle that plan. It was smart for them to do that, though, because when you poll 30 and 40-somethings, none of them believe Social Security is going to be around. So why not go in and start reforming it for them? The problem is then you start taking money out of Social Security for them. How do you deal with the people who are currently in there? And that's why the plans have always been sabotaged.
And I guess that's the main question. Most people that come in believe that they're not going to have Social Security anymore. Honestly, just talking with experts on this, I don't think that's the case. I think it'll keep changing. But what I've noticed is literally it's that dodge and weave, like no politician, with a few marked exceptions, like you talked about Paul Ryan, would discuss this on a regular basis, but very few politicians seem willing to ever bring this up, which I would think would go to electability and the idea of, hey, if we actually discuss this difficult topic, there's no chance I'm getting elected again.
Right. Well, you know, 50% of people who vote are over the age of 50. So that's the largest voter pool of people out there are the people who are either in Social Security or about to get Social Security. They overwhelm every other demographic of people voting. Senior citizens tend to be the most reliable voters. So you make them mad, you're probably going to lose. You undermine Social Security for them, you're absolutely going to lose. And so how do you restructure? There are a lot of plans that are floating out there, and there is some bipartisan recognition behind the scenes that something's got to give. The problem is we are at such loggerheads right now because of partisanship. And by the way, I don't actually think that's a problem. I think gridlock in Washington is a feature, not a bug of the system.
Right.
The founders intended it to be. But it almost does, in this case, necessitate some level of crisis to get government reform. Unfortunately, I think the fallback government reform is more government as opposed to letting people take care of themselves.
Well, I think that's the question. So what, as you look at 2020, and the reality that not only do we have a presidential election, but we also have all sorts of, you know, change that could happen in Congress, do you see any hope for actual change here? How do you think the 2020 election specifically will impact, again, what I think a lot of people think about, but don't really, you don't hear it much on the debate stage, you don't hear it much right now in ads, but is how are we going to be long-term sustainable when it comes to things that we're hoping are going to provide for our retirement, like Social Security? How do you think this election is going to impact that, if at all?
I actually don't think it's going to impact it a ton. I think right now that Joe Biden still is the front runner for the Democrats. He's the odds on favorite right now. And the reason he's the odds on favorite is because people see him as an alternative to the president without rocking the boat too much. People like Bernie Sanders or even Elizabeth Warren, the further they go to the left, the worse they do in the polls. Elizabeth Warren, of course, once she embraced Medicare for All and had a plan to pay for it that looked like it would bankrupt the country, she crashed in the polls. So
right.
Biden is still the most stable alternative to Trump. But the reality is, I mean, pick your wild card on the Democratic side. Let's say it's Bernie Sanders. With executive orders, he can do some things, but the majority of stuff he would have to do would have to be by legislation, and Congress is designed to make that very hard for him to do. And you also have a bunch now of Trump-appointed federal judges. One in five judges in the federal courts now is a Trump appointee, and so they could enjoin a lot of Bernie Sanders' executive order agenda.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. So I guess here's the question. This is what I ask, and I actually was speaking with Russ Vogt recently. We somebody that you introduced me to, but who's the head of the Office of Budget Management and Budget,
OMB.
I get him always switched for the White House, but just basically his response to this was, yes, we have a crisis. Yes, there's a major issue. And basically, the only way this is going to get solved is that the crisis becomes so bad Congress can't avoid it. Would you agree with him on that? Or what is your take on any hope for actual change when it comes to addressing the real fiscal issues that seemingly keep getting pushed down the road?
I do think it's going to have to be a crisis. You've got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and his predecessor both saying this is becoming a national security issue. The debt long-term is not sustainable, but very few members of Congress care about it. And, you know, you do have a problem on both sides. To a degree, there is some recognition among some Republicans. Yeah, we may have to restructure the tax code and some people get a tax increase. But among Democrats, their solution is not to actually ever cut anything, but to increase taxes. And unfortunately, if we were to increase taxes 100%, we still wouldn't have enough money to really make a dent in our current spending, let alone paying down the debt. So cuts are going to have to come, and most of our budget is frozen with entitlements and mandatory spending.
What do you think a regular person listening to this show, just somebody that's not deeply, because you do this a lot on your show, you talk about grassroots activism, the impact that you and I can actually have on making a difference. If someone is sitting out right now, which I know this is the case because, again, I hear it so often, and they're deeply concerned about this, they're deeply concerned about the longevity of Social Security and Medicare and what's going to happen, et cetera. What practical steps do you recommend they take? Is there a way that we can actually make a difference in this?
Yeah, you know, honestly, the biggest difference that any individual can make is to take care of themselves and their family individually, and inculcate within their family, teach their kids to take care of themselves and be individually responsible, because Washington's never actually going to ultimately fix the problem. Individuals are going to need to fix it for their families, and then once they fixed it for their families, to be generous enough with others through charitable giving to help other people. Stop waiting for Washington to fix the problem. When it comes to the political process, of course, make sure that your politicians hear from you constantly. The problem is there are a lot of people who also want the solution, but their solution is always more government as opposed to more individual responsibility, which is why we're going to wait for this crisis. So in the meantime, take care of your family and then be charitable.
Well, fantastic advice. Eric, thank you so much for jumping on. Again, I know you know who Eric is, but if you don't listen to his show, it's every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. And then now you're across most of Georgia every day, 9 to noon as well.
5 hours of radio a day. And hey, I've got a great guest host. His name is Chris Burns. You might have heard of him.
Yeah, well, I've enjoyed doing it. That's fantastic. Thank you, Eric. And then I'll tell you what, if you want to hear a longer conversation with Eric, we did a full podcast on this. That'll be released tomorrow. So if you want to hear Eric wax eloquent about how all this goes, you can just search for Dynamic Money in podcast and you can listen to it. Thank you again, sir.
Thank you.
I think Eric is right on this. There is a reality that, and I've heard this from a lot of folks right now, that we're just going to have to see the crisis get to the point that Washington can't avoid it. Now, my personal belief is term limits are a big part of this. What is the incentive, right, for most Congress people? Most Congress people's incentive is to get reelected again, as opposed to actually digging into and dealing with the real issues that we're facing. Because if you dig into those things, you become unpopular. There's no way you're going to be elected. And we've created a system that says it's more important to be elected again than to actually deal with this. But I'll tell you what, every person I meet with is talking about it. And so Eric makes a good point, and I think we'll talk about this in a little bit. We are in a good economy right now. It's a remarkably good economy. You might not feel that way, because there's been so many headlines over the last year. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was reading the Wall Street Journal, other well-noted publications that would talk about the imminent recession, the coming downturn. It was going to be the end of time. That is the general belief, that all this must be coming to an end soon. And so a lot of people feel this deep uncertainty. But the reality is there's a lot of really good things happening in the economy. And so it's an opportunity for you to put yourself in a good position where you're not entirely dependent on what the government does here. Because to trust that the government's going to make this change in the near future and actually be responsible and deal with the fiscal crisis that we're in is probably not reality. But you have an opportunity right now, especially in the economy we're in, to look at this. So in a minute when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you do that? How do you practically look at the numbers? And we'll talk about what's actually going on in the economy, but then dig a little deeper and say, what does that actually mean for you? How do you change your situation this year so you can make progress? And again, if you want to jump in on the conversation or you have any questions, the number to reach is 404-872-0750. This is Chris Burns. You're listening to The Chris Burns Show.
Get Chris's daily email to stay up to date on all financial news by signing up at dynamicmoney.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Burns Show. So happy to have you with us today. Listen, what we are trying to do is always take what's going on in the world, what's going on in headlines, and filter that down to your specific situation. Fidelity Investments did a survey recently, said over 60% of Americans this year had some sort of New Year's resolution based around finances. Now, I know that when people hear finances, they think boring. I'll never forget, I was sitting in the airport recently, talking, eating a meal at a bar, waiting for a flight, and talking to the guy next to me. And he said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "Oh, you'll think it's boring." And he goes, "Oh, you're in finance." So I get that. I get that people tend to think this stuff we talk about stocks, we're talking about the market, et cetera. And yet so many of us on a deeper level long to have peace and safety and security in this arena. And so if you are at a place right now where you're one of those 60%+ of people who are saying, the economy looks good, how do I make real changes? This is the show for you. If you want to jump on, again, the number is 404-872-0750. Would love to discuss this. Speaking of that, we'll go to the phones. We have Zachary with a financial question. Zachary, how you doing?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for joining the show. How can I help you?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I have a low-level government job. I've been there coming up on 5 years now. Shortly after the first year, I was given the option to get into a retirement plan.
Sure.
And to be honest, I don't really know that much about this particular plan. I've got a 457B.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really seem to be doing a whole lot, which I guess probably, given it close scrutiny, probably isn't the best idea. But anyway, I just wondered if you knew anything about those particular plans, and should I continue with this plan or maybe try and find something on my own?
Yeah,
my employer doesn't give any into it.
Let me give you a quick answer. We just have a minute here. So 457s are fantastic plans. The uniqueness of them versus every other retirement plan is that you can actually utilize them in your 50s without any sort of penalty. And whereas a 401k and a 403b, there's going to be a penalty until you're 59 and a half. So you have way more flexibility for pulling money out of it. It is a good thing to invest in, but it's how you invest that actually matters. It's the stocks you pick. All right, coming up in a minute, we're going to talk about the economy, the numbers, what it's going to mean for you on The Chris Burns Show. Thanks so much.
Can't get enough of Chris? Follow him on Twitter at CW Burns for more.
Hey, welcome back to The Chris Burns Show. Thank you so much for joining us this beautiful Sunday afternoon. 70 degrees on Peachtree Street. This does not exactly feel like winter weather. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're out, of course, with your radio on, listening. And as we go here, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can jump on. It's 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're into those 800 numbers, again, 800-WSB-TALK. Would love to talk about your financial world and exactly how you're planning on making changes and making progress as we head into a new year, because so many of us, our desire is we'd love to get to the end of this year and see change. We'd love to get to the end of this year and see actual growth. But for so many, it just feels like we get 1 month and we get 2 months in, and then all of a sudden it's just life happening and we're just trying to keep up. And so if you're in a place where you go, I want to actually make tangible growth, would love to chat with you about that. Again, 404-872-0750. Well, the newest numbers on the economy are pretty remarkable. And you might not feel that way, again, because as we talked about earlier in the show, a lot of folks feel like things must be headed for disaster simply because we've had such a good run, right? But here's the problem. Predictions like that never work. My favorite show of the year that I've done every year has been where we look at the predictions from the previous year and just laugh at them, because they never work out that way. And so in this case, a lot of people that I meet with, a lot of people that write in are going, I know bad things are coming, simply because it's been good for so long. In fact, I'll never forget last year, I had somebody reach out to me in December. Last December, we had the worst December in the market since the Great Depression. And so a lot of folks felt like the end, you know, the bottom is dropping out. What are we going to do? And I never forget, I had somebody come in and just tell me, you know what? I feel so much better. I took everything out of the market, put it in cash. I feel like I'm in a really good place now. Nothing's going to get me down. And I never forgot that person all year as we watched the market just explode, right? Because that person's reactivity, their fear of what could happen, caused them to make a decision that allowed them to miss out on a massive year of growth in the market. And how many of us tend to be reactive because of uncertainty and make decisions that end up having long-term consequences? So I want to dig into that a little bit, but the market and the economy in general look good. It's hard to argue with that. We're sitting right now, we just got the jobs report for December showing 10 years now of consistent job gains. That's the longest on record by far over the last 80 years where they've been recording this. In fact, it's over double the length of the previous record. Right? We're sitting on the longest bull market in history, and a lot of folks sit and go, well, that's got to turn around. It's got to change. This is going to be the year where things go bad. Yeah, except I just said we're over double the previous record on job growth. There's no way of knowing if the market will continue to go up for another year or 2 or 5 years, or if it could be in 2 months that everything goes down. We have no clue. Nobody knows. But I do think we're in a unique position right now to focus on what can you and I actually control. Instead of sitting and talking about what might happen, how could this go down, let's discuss where are we at right now and what can you actually control to make sure that no matter what happens externally, because you have no power over a geopolitical situation with China or with Iran. You have no power over whether you're laid off this year because your company changes or you suddenly have a hospital bill or your car breaks down, right? Those things are going to happen. The question is, how can you prepare yourself? How can you put yourself in a financial place where you're going to be okay regardless? Because if you do that, suddenly that's where peace comes from. So again, let's look at the good and the bad of where we sit right now. The good is we're in a remarkable job market. We know that. And we know that the not only job market, but also just the stock market's fantastic. But let's talk about jobs for a second. If you're a person right now who is sitting going, I don't love my job. I feel like I'm underpaid or I'm underemployed. I'm having a hard time getting the kind of salary I think I should be getting. Or maybe you're just miserable. Your quality of life is bad right now. Now, I get that overall, a lot of us are in that place and we just go, because of our situation, I don't have any way out of that. But I want you to hear this. Right now, we're sitting on the lowest unemployment since the Vietnam War, right? We 50-year low on unemployment and the longest month-over-month job growth ever in the history of studying this, which means there's never been a better job market. So practically speaking, what does that mean for you right now? It means that if you're in a place where you don't like where you're at, now is the time to pursue a change because the labor force is small. So employers are looking for skilled workers. And if you have a skill set and you're just kind of sitting on it going, man, I don't love what I'm doing. I don't love my job, but I just don't feel like I should make a change. I tell you what, I had a person come into my office recently about this was 4 or 5 months ago in a similar situation. And he made it so clear he hated his job. And the reason he hated it was that he wasn't making enough money. He and his wife had just had a child. His wife had to keep working for them to have enough money. And it was her desire to slow down. And it was his desire that she could slow down, but he just didn't have enough money. And he said, I have no idea what to do here. And I said, look, the market is so good right now for jobs. Just put yourself out there. Like brush up your LinkedIn profile, start looking. So he goes out and starts looking. The next meeting we have, he is freaking out because he's found a job with his exact same skill set that immediately hired him that's paying him a third more than what he was making before. And that wasn't because of some genius on my part where I was like, hey, it's going to work. I didn't know if that was going to work out, but I know that right now there's incredible competition for skilled employees. So if you're someone sitting out there right now that's going, I don't like where I'm at, now is the time to change that because guess what? No one knows when this is going to change. No one knows when unemployment is suddenly going to change dramatically and when the job market won't be as healthy and job seekers won't have as many options. That is coming. But right now we know we can control as of today, it's a great time to go looking. So practically speaking, now's the time to look. Same thing if you're looking for homes right now. We are at the lowest mortgage rates again that we've been at since ever the recording mortgage rates. Literally, you go back to the closest we ever got, this was the 50s. Okay, so we're back to people getting 3.5% mortgages on 30-year notes. That's insane. My parents' first mortgage was 19%. Those are credit card rates. And some of you remember that. You lived through that. And now we grumble when it's up to like 4.5%. We're like, oh, I don't know about that. That's a little ridiculous. 3.5%. That's crazy low mortgages. So who does that benefit? If you're a person looking right now to buy a home and you can get into a 3.5% mortgage that you get to keep then for 30 years, holy cow. Everything else in the world will become more expensive. Your mortgage will stay the exact same cost. That's an amazing opportunity. Right? But there's a flip side to all of this. So there's on the one hand, these amazing numbers, these opportunities for, hey, you can go out and look for a job. You can go out and get a mortgage for 30 years and all of that at an amazing rate. And all that benefits a lot of people, especially young people in both of those cases. But certainly also, if you've been in the workforce a long time, you have a skill set. I work with a lot of people in their 60s that feel like, well, no one's going to hire me. Look, folks are looking for skilled employees right now. Now is an amazing time to still shop what you have around because there's a lot of employers that would love to have someone with experience come in. But the flip side to all of this is, who does this harm? Where is a really good economy a bad thing? And that's something we don't ask very often. Okay, well, let's think for a minute about people close to retirement, for instance. So if you're close to retirement right now, it's amazing that the bull market is fantastic. It's amazing that we've seen incredible growth like this. But when you have interest rates as low as we're seeing on mortgages, the flip side to that is that safe money, so what people have historically gone to when they're close to retirement, right, things like CDs and bonds that used to give a return. I remember double-digit CDs back in the 80s. At the same time, you had double-digit mortgages, right? So safe money is paying hardly anything, and that means that a lot of folks nearing retirement aren't sure what to do. Because we sit and go, my money's always been in the market. The market's blowing up. I don't think I should be taking the level of risk I'm taking right now, but there's no return anywhere else. So there's this tendency to go, you know what? I'm going to move a little bit more aggressive because I want to capture some of that return. Because when you look and everybody else around you is making all this money, why not be a part of it? And the answer is because for the first time ever, we live in a market-driven retirement. In other words, your parents, your grandparents might have had pensions and they felt certainty. My grandparents have never touched their pension. Never touched their invested assets because they had so many pensions they never needed to. So they just live on a paycheck coming in every single month. That is not the reality for most of us now, even folks close to retirement. And so suddenly what happens to your investments becomes critical. I met with a gentleman a few years ago in 2016, and he was nearing retirement. He was in his mid, almost late 60s at that point. And we looked at his portfolio. He had over 96% of his money was in equities. Over 96% was in stocks. Now, if you look at your 401k or an IRA statement, what you're going to notice is that there's something on there that kind of shows you the percentage of money in stocks. Think of that like a speedometer, okay? So if you're going along in your car at 94 miles an hour and you hit something, it's going to be a pretty disastrous crash, right? But if you're going half that speed, the intensity of the crash isn't nearly as bad. Well, the same thing applies to the market. If I'm going along with 95% in equities and the market suddenly tanks, I'm going to lose a lot of money. And if I'm a young person, that's no problem. I could see incredible growth if I stick with it and just don't get out of it. In the last 10 years, we've seen 500% growth in the S&P 500. That's insane. But this person was within a few years of retirement. So he was in a place where the market tanks. Suddenly, his entire retirement changes dramatically. And so I said, we've got to pull back. We've got to pull back to more of a moderate allocation where you're sitting closer to 50 to 60% in equities so that if the market tanks, you'll be okay. And he agreed to that. It was a big change. We made the change, and I'll never forget. Then we go into 2017. And if you remember the market in 2017, it just went through the roof. It was just like last year. It was an insane, fantastic year in the market. And I was at Disney World. I remember with my family, I get this phone call from him, and I pick up and he's like, Chris, I'm like, yes, I think I was waiting on the bus to take us to the Magic Kingdom or whatever. He's like, Chris, I just want to be clear on one thing. If I'd never met you, I'd have a whole lot more money than I have right now. And I was like, yes, that is true. And he's like, okay, good. And he hung up and that was it. Still a great client because we had talked about it enough that he understood, even though he was missing out on what he might have gotten, right? Which was totally unknown at that point. We didn't know in 2016 if the market was going to explode the next year, if it was going to go down. Even though there was a risk that he was going to lose what he could have made, the risk of if the market tanked, what that would do to his retirement was far greater. So he had to pull back. And so in the midst of a really good economy where so many people can benefit from this, we just talked about this. If you're looking to buy a home, if you're looking to change jobs, there's so many good things going on. This can also be the most dangerous economy possible because it lulls us into this feeling of security, that the market's going to keep going up, that everything's going to be okay, that we're not going to see a major drop. Look at all the years we've had where things haven't been down. Most of us, when we think about how are we doing as investors in the market, we think about the last 2 to 3 years. We don't think about 15 years ago. We don't think about 2008 anymore. And so there's a real danger for folks nearing retirement because there's this tendency to say, you know, maybe I should make a switch. Maybe I should get a little more aggressive. And this is the key, okay? So how do you fix all this? The answer is not, well, watch the news closer or make sure you pay better attention to the headlines because then you can be, because that's a reactive response. It's, you know what, I'm going to, whatever happens, I'm just going to react to it. I'm going to change in the moment, and I'm going to do my best to try to keep, you know, spinning and changing, making my portfolio work. That will drive you crazy, and it will always put you on the wrong side, where you're buying when things are super expensive. So maybe right now you're sitting looking at last year going, holy cow, the market exploded. I should have been a part of that. You have that fear of missing out. My kids taught me this, FOMO, right? Your fear of missing out. So you jump back into the market now. And then lo and behold, let's say in 2 months, the market suddenly tanks and you go, oh my word, but you bought in when it was really expensive and now your money, you're losing money. So what do you want to do? You want to get out. So you sell and it's like a fire sale, right? You sell when everything is at the worst possible and you lose a ton of money. That's reactivity. Instead of that, maximize the reality that the economy is good right now by looking at your situation and going, how can I be sure I'm ready for whatever comes along? If you need to adjust your risk, now is a great time to do it. If you need to look for a new job, now is a great time to do it. Not because the headlines are good, but because you want to put yourself in a place where you're ready for whatever is thrown at you. And when you do that, you feel real peace.
Want to know more about Chris Burns and Dynamic Money? Follow Dynamic Money on Facebook. Just search Dynamic Money.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Burns Show. All right, we're entering our lightning round. This is our segment of the show where we answer questions you've sent in throughout the week. If you have a question, just go to dynamicmoney.com. You can ask anything, and then we do our best to answer as many of those as we can in this segment. So, first question comes from Rick. He says, I'm retiring as of September 1st, 2020. I need some advice on how to handle my 403B between then and now. Here's the key. Rick, if you're about to retire, it's just like what I talked about in the last segment. You've got to pull your risk back because no one knows what's going to happen in the market this year. You've got to make sure it's more important at this point when you're this close to retirement that you protect what you have while still getting some growth than that you go full out, hope for a great year, and then see at the last minute suddenly a lot of your dreams for retirement change because the market tanks. So you've got to pull back to a moderate allocation. Great question. Next comes from Jennifer. Jennifer says, my 401k didn't earn much at all last year. Should I be investing in my IRA instead? All right, Jennifer, thank you for asking. A lot of folks wonder this. They think that it's actually the tool, like a 401k or a 403b, the guy earlier that called in, a 457, that they earn some sort of set amount. Now, those are actually just tax shells. The way you make money is how you invest those. So if your 401k didn't earn much last year when the market was way up, it was because of what it was invested in, and you have control over that. So now's the time for you to look at your investments and go, should I be more aggressive if you're younger? And you can always, of course, what we do, and go come to a financial planner and talk about that and get an objective analysis. If you want to work with us, it's dynamicmoney.com. We would love to talk with you, but the key is change the way that you're invested. You don't have to actually go look at a different investment. Time for one more at least. Beth says, my husband and I are just getting above water and have kids in college. We need help to financially create a plan. How would you advise us? The key is this. So many people feel like if we have to become super aggressive because we're behind. So if I'm behind, I need to suddenly just go really intense in my investments to try to get to a good place. And that invariably can lead you into a bad place, the market drops. So still base your risk on where you're at in life, not trying to catch up. That can take you down a dangerous road. Hey, thanks for joining us. It's been the Chris Burns Show. We'll be back next Sunday at 2 p.m. live answering all your questions. Have a fantastic rest of the day.